You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John 5. Nothing new here, nothing fancy, as Brother Osteen used to always say, but Joel Osteen's dad, was our pastor for years. As he used to say, just cornbread and beans, not steak and potatoes, but, you know, we need cornbread and beans nonetheless. Amen. Well, amen. Yeah. You need to pick up on this, honey. If they're not responding, I need an amen every once in a while. Just keep me going. But this is just simple, basic truth. You know it. I know it. I've ministered along these lines before. I think it's just seemed like the Spirit's going that way in my view, the way I'm seeing the move of the Spirit here. Even this morning in class, we talked about belonging. And, you know, we talked about even the song that came out, We Belong. In His presence we belong. I think we get everything confused. We think we have to. I heard a minister say this at a conference last week, a couple weeks ago. I think it was John B. Lowe that said this. And he just mentioned in passing at the end of a sermon that we have this thing backwards, that we think we have to behave and believe and then belong. But actually, we belong and we believe and then we behave. The reason I belong is not because of my behavior. The reason I belong is not because of my believing. Now, it connects me with it. I understand that. But the reason I belong is because of what He did. Yeah. And out of that belonging, I should believe and I should behave. Amen? But we get the thing backwards a lot of times. You know, we think we've got to clean everybody up first and then, you know, and then get saved. But if that were the case, none of us would be saved. We get saved and then we clean up. Are you with me? And we're patient with people. You have to be patient with people to just get saved. They come out of all kinds of things and all different kinds of walks of life. And you know, I remember when I got saved, I had to learn a whole new language. I mean, I didn't talk Christianese, you know, whatever it is, Christianese or whatever it is. I was lost. I'd been in drugs and jails and I got saved. And it just took me a while to work some of that out. You know, I love Jesus, but I had to learn a new language. I had to learn to think differently. When God first called me to teach, I never will forget it. I'd argued with Him. You know, I've been saved like 1 year, and I had made a lot of changes in my life. There's no question. I was born again. I loved Jesus. I was just enamored with Jesus. But He wanted me to teach, and I didn't want to do that. I was just glad to be saved. And I was telling people about Jesus, but I had I just had no dreams or visions or I didn't want to aspire to be a pastor or a teacher. That just wasn't what I wanted to do. I was just happy to be saved and talk about the Lord and tell people about Him and, you know, and go to church and all those things. And God wanted me to teach. And I didn't know how to respond to that. In fact, I remember telling God my language. What I said was, when God called me, I'm not going to tell about it because I'll start crying if I tell the vision. I do every time I tell it. But anyway, what I told God when He asked me to do something, He asked me to teach. I said, no. I said, you got the wrong cat, Jack. I remember telling, I was talking to God. But that's just the way I talked, you know, and I had to learn different, you know, to be respectful and talk right. And it takes time. You have to be patient with people. You know, you don't clean fish before you catch them. You catch them first, and then you clean them. And a lot of that's just up to the Holy Ghost anyway. It's not your job to clean people up. You know, let God clean them up. Thank you for that. Amen. But that's the truth. And if it weren't that way, we'd all be in trouble. People come from all different walks of life. Some are raised good. Some have good homes. Some have bad homes. Some have no homes. But Jesus died for everybody. Amen. And when they come in, we're under a mandate to love people and to help mature them and disciple them. It's not all about souls. We hear that. Well, it's all about souls. Well, no, actually, it's about discipling. If you want to know the truth, if you want to go through the Scripture, after a soul is saved, he needs to be discipled. He needs to learn what it is to be a Christian, what it is to live for God, what it is to pray and to forgive and to love and all those things. So most of church is about discipling. As far as souls are concerned, that's generally out there in the world where you live, you know, on your job or your neighbor, your relatives. That's where we lead people to the Lord for the most part. I mean, some people come in church lost and we give invitations. But it starts with souls, but it goes from souls to disciples. And I love what your vision is. You're talking about evangelization. You know, you go out there, they don't just go out there and just preach and get people saved. They start churches so people have somewhere to go and mature and grow. And then where that, they in turn will multiply out and share Jesus with others, and they'll grow and grow and grow. You have to. It all comes back to the church. It has to be a church somewhere. Paul started churches, you know, when he went out, and Jesus is the one that said that upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is something Jesus started, and it's for our maturity. It's for us to grow in. And, you know, in a house, you've got people all different levels of maturity or immaturity. Hello, commitment or non-commitment. Anybody have a family? Okay. Are you all the same? No, of course not. Everybody's different. And if you have kids, you know they go through stages. But you hang on to them. You believe in them. You pray for them. Isn't that right? You don't give up on them. They finally come around. Hallelujah. If you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, well, they'll not depart when they grow older. And so, you know, we just are patient with each other. And as Christians, as believers, we're under this mandate to love. We must love one another. We have to. We love God, and we love God's people. That doesn't mean we just love people that are International Outreach Church. We love Baptists. We love Methodists. We love Catholics. We love Assembly of God. Whoever names the name of Christ is family. You can pick your friends. You are stuck with your relatives. So we are lovers of God's people, good to the household of faith, because we belong here. I belong here. And you know what? People meeting at the Baptist church today, they belong. If they know Jesus, they belong. They belong here. And Assembly of God, they belong there. The Catholics, if they know Jesus is Lord and Savior, they belong. I belong. And here's why. Listen, 1 John 5. Everybody got it? Follow along with me. I know I've got an iPad that actually is a Bible on here. Okay, Jesus loves me, this I know, for my iPad tells me so. 1 John 5:1, simple verse. Most of you could quote it. It's not complicated. It's not deep. I think we make things too deep, too complicated. It says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Isn't that what it says? So that means that you're in the family of God. Everybody say, I believe. Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
Therefore, I am born of God.
Now,
see, that's not complicated. That's not deep. It's not because you're good. It's not because I'm good. It's not because you're bad or indifferent. It's because you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make a point here because I think we get this all confused. I believe in living holy. I do. I believe I've changed my life since I've gotten saved. But that's because I am saved. Not to be saved. It's because I love Jesus. Not because I'm afraid of Jesus. I've changed a lot in my life. I don't want to do what displeases him. I don't want to be a bad witness. I don't want to lead someone in the wrong direction. So I live in a certain manner. Not so I could be saved, but because I am. See, the Bible says you need to work out your salvation. It didn't say work for it. It says work it out. I got it right. It's in me. I am not hollow on the inside. Okay? Jesus lives in me, and salvation is in me, and the righteousness of God is in me through Jesus Christ. And so I belong in this thing called the family of God because I have been born of God, and I know that because I believe on Jesus. Woohoo! And I am one of those whosoevers. I love that. Whosoever believes. King James says, you know, whosoever. Whosoever believes. Whoever believes. It's just like John 3:16, which everybody could quote. Everybody in here could quote that verse. For God so loved the world. He didn't hate us. He loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God I'm not going to perish. Thank God I'm not going to hell. I don't have that hanging in my head. I'm not afraid of hell. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not ready to go to heaven on the first load right now. But I'm not afraid of dying in that sense. I know there's something better on the other side. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know Jesus paid the price for me, so I wouldn't have to go to hell. And I wouldn't have to live my life in fear of hell. You know, he delivered me just like he delivered us all, who through all of our lifetime were subject to bondage through fear of death. That's what Hebrews 2:14 says. Well, we don't have to fear that. It doesn't mean we want to die. It doesn't mean we look forward to being killed or whatever, but we don't have to fear the other side. We got faith in the other side. We got hope. We got a future. We can face it with courage. Hallelujah. We can face the future with faith. Glory to God. We can stand by that casket of that loved one who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. And although we hurt and although we sorrow and although we grieve, we can know that we know that they are in a better place and we're going to see them again. And we can comfort one another with that because we belong. We belong in this thing called Christianity. We belong in this family called the family of God. God is not my God. He's my Father. Hello. God and Father, you might say, but He is my Father. And I am not just His servant. I am not just His slave. I'm His son. I'm His child. I think we forget that. Oh, I serve Him, but I serve Him out of love. I don't serve Him out of, He hasn't conquered me. I'm not a conquest of God. He didn't enslave me and make me do things for Him. I chose to submit to Him. I chose to serve Him. I call on His name by choice, my free will. That's why He loves me. That's why He loves you. That's why He loves it when you pray and when you serve Him, because you don't have to. You do it because you choose to. And so now I serve Him not as a slave. I serve Him as a son. I serve Him as a family member. I serve Him because I belong here. Hallelujah. Are you out there? See, that's what submission means. I think we often get that twisted. To submit to someone is not like a nation conquering another nation and making slaves out of people, and then they just got to serve this other nation. They don't have a choice. They just got conquered. But to submit, when I submit, that means I choose to serve, sub, under this mission, the cause of Christ. I'm submitting to Him. I'm serving under Him. Hallelujah. And I choose to do that. I didn't have to. I choose to do that. And that's why He's so pleased every time I pray and every time I call and every time I mean, He's going to look at that's my boy right there. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him praying for those people. Look at him loving them. He's praying right now and asking God, asking me to forgive those people. Isn't that he was telling all the angels, isn't that awesome? Look what a change is taking place in his life. That's my boy. See, we don't often think like that, but that's the way God looks at us. More so than any father in the natural. Anybody ever had kids that started walking? Now, you know and I know that when you put that in that book, that they walk, they weren't walking. They stumbled three steps before they hit the ground. But they were walking such and such a day. I saw them, three steps, four steps, you know. Any effort was worth it. Any effort to us as a father, as a mother, anything we see our child, we're so proud of them. Just trying. If they just get up and try, they may fall down and get back up, but they're trying. Hallelujah. And we're so proud of them. And we write it down in a book. I mean, we got books to write all this stuff down. They started talking. They said, da-da. Well, that's papa, right? Is that right? That's what I always thought was. Yeah. They said, wah-wah. Look at that. They said, water. I said, water. They didn't say water, but they tried. They were trying to do something. See, and any effort was good enough. That's good enough, man. And you telling everybody about it. Oh, you're calling up grandma and grandpa. You're calling up papa and mimi. And you say, oh, man, they walked today. I got it on my iPhone. You know, and then for next thing you know, it's on Facebook. And you're just hoping it goes viral, you know, and it goes, but it doesn't. But what I'm saying is God loves us because we belong to God. I'm not an outcast. No, I belong here. This is what I am. I am a Christian. Amen. I'm not trying to be one. I am one. I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved. Are you out there? And why do I know that? Because I believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's a Greek word, Christ. It's the same word in the Old Testament called Messiah. It just means the anointed one. That's what it means. Chrisma. Is anointed, and Meshach in the Old Testament, Messiah, means the one anointed. So Jesus was the one we believe God anointed to save us from our sins. We're the one that He anointed. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one He chose to sacrifice for our sins. He is Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. See, Christ is like a title. I always like to differentiate between that because sometimes as Christians, we say things religiously. You ever notice that? And we never really think about it. And mama said it that way, and grandmama said it that way. And so we say it that way. And we don't really know what it means. We just say it. And we'll often say in Christ's name, You know, and I understand that. But Christ is not a name. Christ is a title. The name's Jesus. Christ was the office, the title, the anointed one. His name's Jesus. So really, properly, we should say in Jesus' name. Or in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, you know. And I believe God hears you if you say Christ's name. Don't run out of here and say I was preaching against all that. I'm just saying sometimes we just do things because, you know, everybody else did it and we do it. You need to know why you do things. And you need to know what you believe. You know where it is in the Bible that says what you believe. Not just because a preacher says it or because I'm International Outreach Church or I'm Baptist or I'm Methodist. Thank God for churches. We're pro-church. But we believe this because God says this. Amen? And here's where it is. So be, you know, quick to look it up. It's kind of like that. Oh, they were having Thanksgiving in this house, and this girl was helping Mama cook, and Mama took the ham out, and she cut the two ends off the ham and put it in the pan and put it in the oven, and the little girl was standing there and says, Mama, why'd you cut the ends off that ham? And she said, well, I don't really know, honey. Grandmama always cut the ends off the ham and put it in the oven, and so I always did the same thing. So the little girl says, well, why don't we call Grandmama up and ask her why we cut the ends off the ham? And says, yeah, let's just do that. So they call up Grandmama and says, Grandmama, the granddaughter got on the phone and says, we were just having Thanksgiving dinner, you know, we were cooking ham, and Mama cut the ends off the ham. And she said she didn't know why she did that, said, you always did that. Grandma, why you cut the ends off the ham? She said, well, honey, my pan was too short. Sometimes we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing. Are you with me? We're doing it because they did it, you know. And maybe there was a reason they did that, and maybe we don't need to do that, or I don't, you know. Hey. Anyway, if you cut the ends off your ham, I may have enlightened you today, so concerning that. But it says, whosoever believes, first verse, 1 John 5, that Jesus Christ is born of God, hallelujah. I love that. I am born of God. That means something, praise God. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't decide to be good. I mean, to turn over that leaf was just as ugly on the other side as it was on the top side. It didn't matter. For me to just try to be good wasn't going to happen anyway. I needed a change inside, and only Jesus could do that. That's why Jesus said a man must be born again in John the 3rd chapter. Because the problem with us is who we are before we're saved. Are you out there? The problem with us is not what we're doing. What we're doing is just a product of who we are. If we don't solve the problem of who we are, we'll keep doing what we're doing. You can drag somebody off the street in here, and you could stand behind them, and when the song starts, you could lift their arms up, you know, and you get somebody in front of them and start moving his lips when the song starts singing, and the offering comes by, and reach and grab his wallet out and throw money in a offering and put it back in his wallet and, you know, and put it back in his pocket, and you can escort him out and bring him back in next Sunday. That's not going to save him. Are you with me? Something's going to have to happen on the inside here. Something's got to happen on the inside. And that's where the new birth comes in, or being born again. We use that term. Jesus used that term in John 3. And that's the reason is because the problem is we are the problem, and we have to be changed from the inside. And only Jesus could do that. You know, the Bible said it this way. It said, in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So the whole world is lost because we were all born through Adam. So the only answer is to be born again. We can't just be good enough. We have to be changed on the inside. And Jesus did that. That comes from you putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes from you trusting Him and calling on Him. And when you call on Him, when you believe on Him, the Bible says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The difference between us and the world is not a moral line. Although I do believe we should live holy and moral, and as Christians and believers, we should be compelled to do so. I think grace is not an excuse for sin. I believe grace is a power over sin. Grace empowers us to live right where we couldn't before. Now we can. We had no help before. Now we have help. We had a hard time forgiving. We can forgive now because we got God helping us forgive. We're born again now. We're saved now. It's still an effort, but we have help doing this. But what separates us from the world is not morality. What separates us from the world is belief. They don't believe in Jesus. We do believe in Jesus. See, that's the line. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Y'all see that? And all the scriptures say that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, I quoted that, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, it gets hot in Texas, but thanks God that's as hot as this ever going to get for us. Amen. Amen? We have reason to rejoice. Glory to God. And he says this. He said, everyone that loveth him that birthed us and begot us, love God, loves him also that is begotten of him. Oh, wow, that pretty well sums up really all of Christianity after you're saved, after you become a Christian, is we love God and we love our brothers. Amen? You don't sound real excited about that. In fact, he also says in one place, if you don't love your brother who you can see, how can you say you love God whom you don't see? I mean, love should be evident in our lives as Christians. By this you know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, that you love one another. We should love each other. It's amazing how separated Christians seem to get. We get in our little compartments. We get in our little churches, and you know, we're this or that, and then we start nitpicking. You know, oh well, they're Baptist. Oh well, they're Methodist. Oh well, they're Assembly. Oh well, they're Pentecost. Oh, they're full of God. Oh, they're Word of Faith. Oh, they're. And I'm thinking, come on, we're supposed to love each other. We're not supposed to see. We're not competing with other churches. In fact, there's always going to be other churches. Thank God for churches. Churches is where people come and they grow and they find out about God and they get their marriages and their lives back together and they get some hope. And, you know, there's a lot of good churches meeting right now in our town. And people are preaching good messages and godly men and women that are standing up for Jesus. And I think it's just awesome. They're part of our family. Amen? I was raised in East Texas. And my uncles had chicken houses. Shelby County, Center Texas, is where Brent and I were born and raised, and Center Texas. And Shelby County used to be the poultry capital of Texas. I mean, there's more chicken houses. I mean, goodness gracious, Holly Farms, Right Care. Then they sold out Tyson's. Tyson's became. My sister worked as a gate guard for years at Tyson's. And you drove trucks over, didn't you, Donnie? Do what? Yeah, chicken houses. Well, anyway, back in the day, okay, back before they got real big, my uncle had. Two chicken houses that would seat that hold 6,000 chickens apiece, and then he had one big one that would hold 12. They have them bigger than that now, but that was pretty big back then. And the thing you always had to do with chickens, you had to remember if you walked into a chicken house, and they're usually real long, you know, if you walk in one end, you had to go very slow, because chickens pile up and smother about 150 chickens. You know, you just lose some of those chicks. They all run the other end, just smother them. And if there was a chicken that had something wrong with it, like the beak was messed up or something, the other chickens would just peck at it and peck at it until they kill it. Real common thing to happen with chickens. And you think about that, sometimes we're about like chickens. Are you with me? I mean, somebody got some problem or some sin or something, and here we are, we're just going to peck at them until we drive them completely away and kill them. And we're supposed to be loving one another. And we're going to find a difference. We're going to find something that we don't agree with that we can just peck and peck and peck and peck and peck until we just drive them away. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Are you with me? Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I thank God for people that name the name of Christ. Maybe there's some differences. I understand, you know, we believe in healing. Maybe they don't believe in healing. I believe in baptism, Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit. I believe that very strongly. But you don't have to do that to be saved. You're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, you know. There's a lot of, I believe in living a certain manner. Some people are not so much so on that. I think it's a bad witness. But, you know, if they know Jesus and they love Jesus and they believe in him, are you with me? Then they're still saved. And I understand when we get to heaven, everybody will find out I'm right. I'm patient enough and confident enough to know that's the case. That's just okay. It's all right. Are you with me? Now, some things I'm very strong about. I mean, some things I would say, well, hey, well, you need to straighten this out. Other things are probably gray areas, a lot of gray areas in walking the Christian walk. Are you out there? Two of you are. That's good. But I believe on Jesus, and I'm born of God, and I belong here. I got family members I don't totally agree with, but they're still family. You say, well, don't you talk about sin? Well, of course, I believe in standing up for what is right. I mean, but I don't hate people that sin. You know, we say here all the time, you know, because you're not going to hear it on the news. Homosexuality is a sin. It is a sin. Do we hate people that are homosexual? No, we don't hate anybody. In fact, anybody that would repent and come to God, we'll take them.
Right.
Bring the homosexual. Oh, that law, not what you would. What? What? Yeah, bring them. Come on, bring them to church. If they want to get right with God, then come on. Hey, adultery is a sin. Did you know that? It is a sin. Do we hate people that have committed adultery? No, actually, if they'd repent and come on to Jesus, we'll take them right now. We'll take. In fact, I got no stones to throw. I have a past. Now, I wasn't homosexual. I just want to make that real. Okay. That's straight right now, but anyway. But if I had a been, God forgave me, okay? But I wasn't. I just want you to know that I wasn't. But, I mean, I have a past. You have a past. We all got a past. See, it's not about sin. It's about repentance and coming to God. It's just about turning your life around. It's about a future. It's about going forward. Hallelujah. Every one of us have a past. But let's come out of that. Come on. And I'm here to tell you, you can come out of whatever you're in. You know? And I'm always going to stand up and say what is right, but not in hate, not a hateful way, but a loving way. Because, you know what? All you got to do is come to Jesus, and you belong. I belong here. Hallelujah. This is who I am. I am a Christian. Woo! Isn't that good? And we should love each other. Amen. So, he goes on, and he says in the... I'm already running out of time here. The second verse, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. Now, see, he gets into living holy there, but see, that's a product of our love for God. I believe love will help you keep the commandments. The commandments don't make you love. Love helps you keep the commandments. That makes sense? You know, the Bible says the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Repentance doesn't lead you to the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Are you out there? Can you say amen, somebody? Am I going to have to put a little sugar on this message? Come on now. Come on. Goodness leads us to repentance. God's goodness, God's love, it leads me to repent. I feel sorry for my sins because I know I have grieved God, and he loves me so much, and he went to such lengths that I might be saved. I am so sorry I did that, God. I'm so sorry I brought that reproach on you and the church. And God, the goodness of God, the love of God overwhelms me. It leads me to repentance. Are you out there? He's not an ogre with a stick. He's not the policeman in the sky. He's not just running around giving out tickets. He is out there with his arms extended saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's the father waiting for the prodigal son to come running down the road. Looking down the road, because if you look at that story, the Bible says he ran down the road and his father saw him and ran to him. His father was looking for him. He was looking down the road just waiting for his son to come back. Oh, come on. Come on, man. Come back. Come back. Come back. See, and that's what God's wanting us to do, is just come back. Come back to him. Hallelujah. He loves us. We belong here. The tragedy of a Christian that sins is that they're in a place they don't belong. Bad things happen in places you don't belong. Most of the murders that you hear about and killings and stabbings you hear about, you say, well, man, that Dallas, that's a bad town. It's not safe at all. There's people getting stabbed and shot. Yeah, you ever notice where they get stabbed and shot? In the parking lot of a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. Maybe there's a connection. Hello? I mean, those things happen in places, you know, that we probably shouldn't be. See, God loves us. He wants to help us. That's why he doesn't want to live that way, because he knows those things are bad for us, put us in bad positions. But by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. The best thing you can do for your wife is live holy. Do you know that? The best thing you can do for your husband is live holy. The best thing you can do for your kids and your grandchildren, they need to see you love your wife, their mother, their grandmother, whatever. They need to see you be faithful. They need to see you pray. They need to see you live holy. It's not all about you. It's bigger than you. It's always bigger than you. We're all a piece of each other here. And God forbid I, as a pastor, would just live loose, you know. I want to live right because I want to be an example. I want you to know it works. I want my kids to know marriage works. I want them to know that raising kids in church works. Hallelujah. I want them to know living holy works. It's good. It works. Love works. Hate doesn't work. It does not work. Bitterness does not work. It'll eat you up. Just doing anything you want to do without any consideration to anybody else, just pushing your own way and asserting your rights and your privileges, that just doesn't work. It doesn't work in life. I'll tell you what works. Love works. Living holy works. I have never offended anybody by not cussing. Now, stay with me. I mean, I don't believe you go to hell if you cuss, and you're not going to hell if you smoke. You might smell like you've been there, but, you know. Well, really, I mean, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying I've never offended anybody by not doing that. You ever notice that? Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you, I wish you would cuss or something. Man, I've never had anybody do that. Man, I've been with you for an hour and you hadn't said a cuss word. Whoa, yeah, man. I got kids here. My wife's over here. Can you please start cussing? I mean, hello. No, I'm stepping on somebody's toe and I'm not trying to. I don't mean to. I'm just talking in general about holy living. It's a good thing. You know, oh, man, you're too nice. I just wish you weren't so nice. Could you please insult me? I've never had anybody do that, you know. Would you please insult me? I've been you for an hour. I haven't been embarrassed yet. Could you embarrass me or something in front of somebody? You know? No, I've never had anybody do that. I just love, you gravitate toward people that love you, people that encourage you, people that lift you. Because you know what? That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to be loved. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big a man you are. You still want to be loved. You want to be accepted. You want to be heard. You know, that's common to everybody. Come on. You want to be needed. You want to count. You want to know that you're important. That you mean something. Well, why don't you go out and do that? Why don't you encourage others and show them how important they are and love people and lift people and listen to people's story, hear what they have to say. That's just love. That's love. See, you're already a Christian. Now let's just go live like it. You know, Ephesians is real. I'll close out with this. I'm running out of time here. Hey, we got two verses, though, didn't we? We got those two verses? The whole book of Ephesians goes like this, and I won't quote it. But the first three chapters, six chapters in Ephesians, this is a fascinating book. It's about the body of Christ. The first three chapters are about you being in Christ, you being a saint. That's what it's all about. In fact, all of it talks about being in Christ and being a saint, accepted in the beloved. All that's in those first three chapters. Paul just hammers it in. The last three chapters of Ephesians talk about living holy. And I think that's fascinating. Because he first says, you are a saint, and then he spends the other half of the book saying, now go live like it. In other words, you belong here. You do. Don't you ever think you don't, because you do. Don't you believe that lie. Don't you buy that lie that God hates you and God's mad at you. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. And you're not second rate. You're not B rate. You're just as important as anybody in the body of Christ. If you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, hallelujah, then you are, not going to be, you are born of God and you belong here. You're family. You have every right to be here. Now, let's go act like it. Amen? Now that we get comfortable in our own skin, comfortable with loving, comfortable with forgiving, comfortable with living right, realizing I got the power to do so. Hallelujah. Then let's go out and live like it. Amen? We belong. Then we behave. Amen. And if you're not behaving, it's because you don't realize you belong. You're still trying to, you're still insecure, you're still not comfortable, you're still, you know, you're trying to assert yourself. No, you can calm down, you can settle down, you belong here. No one's going to run you out. We went to the wedding last night, and I'll say this in closing. Blaine was the ring bearer. You know, Glenn and Tracy Henderson, daughter Cassidy got married to Kevin. And Blaine, you know, little Blaine, you know, he was the ring bearer. Well, he was back in the back, and they're all getting ready. And one of the maids, there were several maids, you know, bridesmaids, and, of course, groomsmen. And he was getting the ring and the pillow and everything. One of the bridesmaids, friend of Cassie, says, because he's just a little kid. They said, are you going to trust him to carry that ring? And Blaine looked at us and said, I'm not going to steal that ring. He thought, trust him with the ring. I mean, he got indignant. He was just saying, I belong here. I'm her brother. What are you talking about? I mean, he just bowed up real quick. He was very secure and comfortable in his own skin. So I kidded him about it later. But anyway, I'm not going to steal that ring. She was talking about him dropping it or something, you know, and he just got it all. Hey, that's the way you ought to be when the devil tells you you don't belong. Amen. When the devil tells you to do something wrong, you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm a Christian. Come on, we ought to be that way because we know who we are. Amen.